Hello, and welcome back to another episode of In the Pen, part of the Pitcherlist podcast network. Today, we'll be joined by Daniel Port, as Kalen Elsliger will be out, and so we're making a call to the bullpen. Welcome, Daniel.
Thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, it's my pleasure to come on and try and pitch a couple innings of relief here. You lend a hand.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You know, if for those of you who aren't aware of Daniel's work, he's been a tremendous, you know, asset over at Pitcherlist, and he's been helping out with our reliever ranks article this year. So, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you should be looking at that reliever ranks article every day for your reliever necessary, you know, information. We're gonna jump right in this week when we'll get to the quick, you know, up and down segment of the show. So not a lot changed this week in my ranks. I don't know that there's a situation in Minnesota we were working on with you know, who was closing in between Joan Duran and Emilio Pagan. It looks like Duran might have the edge now. Last week we were talking about Pagan. I'm curious, Daniel, do you have any preference here? I know, you know, we've hyped up Duran a lot in the show. What's your take on the situation?
I'm with you. I tend to lean more Duran. I think you look at the pure skill set of what Duran has to offer. I think he leaps and bounds better or more skilled, has a higher ceiling than Pagan does. But I think, especially since Minnesota's kind of, I think, frankly, stumbled their way into suddenly turning around and seeing themselves lead the AL Central, I wouldn't be shocked if they kind of look to the veteran Pagan to kind of keep that going and say, well, maybe we'll use Duran in higher leverage situations. But I'd love to see him take over that role for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm hoping to see that too. But yeah, I you never know with, you know, a team that's, you typically, these teams that are contenders, they love their veteran relievers. They love to, you know, the guys that they feel that they can trust. And, you know, yet Monday night of this week, that was Duran's first MLB save. So be interesting to see how, you know, Rocco Baldelli feels, you know, trusting him going forward. But that's definitely, you know, Duran's someone who, if he does take over the role, I'm thinking he's a top 12 closer, at least top 15, you know, top half of the league closer. So hopefully we get a little bit more clarity on that throughout the next week or so.
Yeah, I can't imagine. No, I agree. Especially you look at the rate that he does exactly what you want a closer to do, right? He strikes a ton of hitters out, doesn't walk anyone. He gives up a little bit of home runs, but it's such a small sample size that, I mean, he's just exactly what you're looking for in a closer. So I would love to see him get that role locked down.
Yeah, for sure. And also we have, you know, a kind of a crazy story. After last week, I had shot down the Anthony Bender experience. He went ahead and saved 4 games in 5 days this past week and completely proved me wrong. So I will take the L on that. But I was hoping Bender would be the guy after, you know, going into the season. I was excited to see him get a chance. The strikeout numbers is still down, but he had a really good week, obviously. And, you know, Dylan Floro may be back this weekend, maybe next week. So it's interesting to see what happens there. But I think Bender has proved that he can, you know, hang on to that role in Miami, for at least for now. So I think his stock's gone up this week.
No, I mean, at some point you save, what, like 4 or 5 games and 4 or 5 games in that stretch. I think that's pretty much your role to lose, especially since he did pretty well with it. You know, I mean, obviously didn't blow any saves over the time period. Really didn't. I didn't see anything that seemed to show, like, by the 5th game that he was slowing down or losing momentum or anything like that. So I do think I agree. I think it's his role to lose at this point.
Yeah, and it's crazy to see, like, the strikeout numbers are down, but his velocity is up. I think he's up 2 ticks on his fastball this year. So I feel like, you know, the slider's not getting the same amount of whiffs as it had last year, but I feel like that will come around and, you know, strikeouts will come up. And yeah, really excited to see. That's actually going to be a really good, that could be a really good bullpen and pitching staff in general if everyone stays healthy there.
I agree. And I think maybe the most important thing to see some of the things that, whether one way or another for Bender, I mean, his walks are down almost a full walk per nine from last year, which, you know, we know is the death knell for closers, right? Is you walk batters, that's always going to come back and haunt you. And I feel like if he can keep that walk rate down, I'm not as concerned about that K rate. You know, I have a feeling, I wonder if those two things are a little related as he feels that out, mm-hmm. trying to hone his control. And I think some people might be concerned about the 2.16 home run per nine. But again, I think that's such an outrageously high number that'll balance itself out once we're not in small sample size range. That's probably like one or two home runs, really. So I think he's got a good lockdown, and I think has a pretty good shot of holding it.
Yeah, I agree. I do tend to lean towards more towards K, you know, K walk per nine than, you know, K per nine. So yeah, like as long as the walk rate's not down, you know. You see a guy like, you know, Taylor Rogers doesn't have a ridiculously high walk rate or strikeout rate, but like he doesn't walk anyone. He's got tremendous command, and, you know, he's been one of the better relievers in baseball the last few years. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Bender just, you know, as far as K rate goes. But, yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens with Floro returns. But for now, I would treat Bender as, you know, a pretty much a must roster closer in, you know, all 12 teamers. That moves us to the Oakland Athletics, who got Lou Trevino back tonight, and tonight being Tuesday, May 3rd. Danny Jimenez has been great. He's filled in. He's done a great job. He still has an ERA of 0, despite having a loss the other day, a couple unearned runs. It looks like, from what I've seen, Trevino is going to be eased back into the closer role. So this is a situation where, what do we do with Danny Jimenez and, you know, the 12 teamers? Is he a must keep? Would you rather Trevino? Do you rather Jimenez? I'm kind of interested for your take on this.
So I think, especially given that it's Oakland, you know, I could absolutely see if you wanted to hold Jimenez for another, you know, week or so to see if he gets any of those saves while Trevino is eased back in. But I imagine that this is going to be Trevino's job, not just because of track record, but because Trevino is, you know, 30. He's obviously not going to be a part of the future. And at the rate that Oakland is sort of selling pieces off, I'd imagine what Oakland would do, and probably just the smart thing for Oakland to do, is have Trevino have that role, build value for the deadline, so they can move him, and then Jimenez could step up, you know, as their closer of the future or whatnot. But I imagine that it would be sort of silly for, unless Trevino is struggling, for him not to be the closer so they can get the most value out of him come the deadline.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I agree with you on that. Like, that seems like the thing Oakland would do is, you know, Trevino's already got some years under his belt, so let's max out his value up until the deadline, move him, and then, you know, play the same game, I guess, with Jimenez and put him back into the role, and, you know, let him close for the next year or so, and unless someone else comes about. But there's really no other options here, and it is Oakland as well, so if this does become some sort of a timeshare, I think it kind of negates both players' value. But as long as one of them, and I do agree, I think Trevino gets his role back, it's kind of unfair to, you know, have him lose his job for going on missing a week with COVID. So I would imagine he gets his job back, and like I said, probably hold on to Jimenez for a week just to see what happens. But if he's not getting used the same way, then it's probably time to cut bait, you know, this weekend or next week.
Yeah, that would be that would be my take. And Jimenez might be a, you know, if you're in like a dynasty league or something, might be worth holding on to for down the line, or to keep an eye on for down the season. But, you know, that would be. I don't know why they wouldn't do that, right? It just seems a waste of what Trevino can do for you.
For sure. And Jimenez those dynasty leagues, those holds leagues, you know, deeper holds leagues, definitely still worth a roster spot there. And another player, another reliever we've talked about possibly returning last week, and he's still not back. And that's Houston's Ryan Pressly, who's had some issues in his rehab, but it sounds like he's turned a corner, had a rehab outing tonight. If all goes well, he may be back this weekend or early next week. And in saying that, it looks like we were wrong with Hector Neris being the closer for the time being, as Rafael Montero has two saves in the past week. I don't think Montero is someone you need to really go rushing out and adding for, unless you want to win, if you need to win saves this week, or if you just use him strictly for the week. But I don't think he's a long-term add. He's been pitching well. He's got his Statcast data is a little weird. He's getting all his whiffs on his fastball, not his changeup, not his, you know, his breaker. So it's a little, that seems a little off to me when, you know, he's not a guy who throws upper, you know, 90s up to 100. He's, you know, 96, and he's mixing his pitches well, and it's worked for now. But I'm not sold on Montero in the long term. How do you feel, Daniel, about, you know, Montero for the week, for the long term? Is he someone that's, you know, worth targeting?
So, I mean, I'm with you. I think it seems like Montero's playing a little, fire, unless somewhere, you know, Houston is obviously a long track record of unlocking something in pitchers. And I'd have to dive a little deeper into that, maybe to take a look at pitch location, or is he throwing something a little differently? But I don't necessarily buy into, in such a small sample, leaping from last year where he struck out 7.66 hitters per nine, or, you know, looking at that 18.7% K rate, right? I sometimes prefer K rate for that sort of thing. That, you know, this year now he's striking out 36.6%, which is a career high for him. I just don't, that doesn't seem to strike me as something that I see perhaps continuing. That seems like a stretch a bit. I'd imagine also once Pressly comes back, you know, obviously it's going to be his job. Dusty Baker's I play my guys kind of guy. So I imagine it's Presley's role once he's ready for it. Who are the Astros playing right now this week? They're playing the Mariners. I don't necessarily know until they really get to go play, say, the struggling Tigers or something. Who knows? There might not even be a ton of save chances. And from what I'm reading, it sounds like Pressly may only need one rehab appearance. So he might be up for the Tigers series. So especially if you're in, like, say, a weekly league, where then if you put Montero in and he's locked in for the week, that seems it might be a risk when by Thursday we might have Pressly back. So I don't know. It's not a move I would probably make in that situation.
I agree with that. I'm kind of bummed that Hector Neris didn't really get a fair shot, because he's been pitching well. He was kind of one of my favorite holds options coming into the year. But, you know, I'm a big Ryan Pressly fan. I hope this knee injury doesn't limit him long term or throughout the rest of the season. I hope his velo comes back, and I hope he's, you know, back to the closer he was before.
No, I'd like to see that too. I was kind of rooting for him when he was over in Philly. And I liked his stuff and, like, his ability. And it's interesting. I mean, Houston's kind of middle of the pack for, like, holds anyways. So it'd be kind of interesting to see if, when you're talking about, like, getting holds options and stuff, they might not be quite as large of a holds, sort of situation in general, you know?
I think there's a lot of options there. There's, you know, Phil Maton. Ryan Stanek's been really good this year too. I agree. I was a big Neris fan back in Philly, and he burned me a lot, but you know, I always thought the fastball splitter combo, and then he kind of toyed with a slider, and he's been throwing it a little bit, but yeah, I thought, you know, he always has good whiff rates, and that always teased me, but well, moving on. Hopefully yeah. Presley comes back, and yeah, I don't have right. to get burned again. So I guess we'll talk about, he's kind of been the situation we've been talking about since we started the show, and that's San Francisco, and Camille Duvall didn't get any saves this past week as of recording this, but we had some developments, I guess, with Jake McGee and the fact that he was working earlier in games. He got roughed up a little bit last week. I think you never know with, you know, Gabe Kapler and what he does, but I feel like we're all but like certain now that Duvall is the closer there, and this, we don't really have to talk about it, hopefully, moving forward. But yeah, just want to just give some love to Camille Duvall this week, and hopefully he's inching ever closer to being the one and only closer in San Francisco, I hope.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, given that Jake McGee is struggling, and you know, I have a feeling there was some, you know, not subterfuge, but somewhat in the beginning of the season when they said, like, kind of to make Duvall earn the role a little bit, and the bets with the Jake McGee sort of, because basically, I mean, what, they've had 7 saves, Duvall's had 4 of them, McGee's had 2, and Dominic Leone's had 1 of the saves, and so you have to imagine, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if probably McGee maybe gets a couple, you know, saves here or there, just because there's a they would need to bring him in as a lefty to get an important out or something like that in the ninth, because Gabe Kapler has been known to do that. But I imagine at this point, this is Duvall's role. He's pitched so well. He's doing really, really well. I can't imagine an intelligent manager like him not moving forward with the guy who's doing the best job at it.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, it's kind of like the Minnesota situation almost, where you have the veteran in Pagan, and you have the young, you know, guy in Duran, who, like, Duran clearly has the better stuff. Duvall clearly has the better stuff. And it's, you know, trusting the old trusted, you know, veteran versus the, you know, the young new guy. And, you know, I want to believe that talent wins out in these situations. So yeah, I think Duvall and Duran kind of in that same situation where they're very close to kind of breaking through, and hopefully, you know, by next week, and I'm hoping that if they stay in the role this week, that, you know, next week they'll be up a tier or maybe even 2 tiers in my rankings. So something to keep an eye on as we go forward. So that pretty much wraps up the news. That there hasn't been a lot of news this week. You know, a couple injury-related things, a couple closer-related things. But now we haven't really talked a lot about holds. We did a little bit last week about, you know, some StatCast data darlings to start the year. But I'm kind of, you know, going through some lists and looking at some stats, and interested to talk a little bit about some of the newer names in the holds, you know, market, I guess, you know, players that we didn't really think too much about heading into the season that have really, you know, had a great start to the year and have worked their way into holds situations. So Danny, I want to start with you. I know you're a big, you know, Cleveland Guardians fan over there. So who's a name that you really have your eye on for, you know, holds leagues?
So we're starting to see, I think, their bullpen shake out a little bit. I mean, like, Logan Allen was just DFA'd, and I would say Emmanuel Clase is starting to get back into a rhythm and shape. A couple of relievers have really started to kind of show out as kind of their go-tos in that bullpen. But the one that really stands out is Trevor Stephan. He has been, so far this season, absolutely unhittable. He's been really, really good in high leverage situations. He's starting to see it, and has shown an ability to go multiple innings. And so more and more Cleveland is starting to turn to him in high leverage situations. He's already thrown about 10. He's thrown just over 10 innings already. He struck out 12 hitters in those innings and has yet to give up an earned run. In fact, has yet to walk a hitter either while striking out 12. So he's just looks very locked in. And Cleveland has loved him for a long time. They took him in the Rule 5 draft last year from New York. And he pitched okay last year, but you could tell they really just loved his talent and kept trying to kind of get him eased into that role. I feel like he's finally stepped into the role they kind of envisioned for him. He's just looked fantastic. Both his four-seamer and his splitter especially have really stood out, getting a ton of strikeouts. And you've just seen him show up in the seventh and eighth innings a lot for them lately to set up Emmanuel Clase over there. So if you were to bet right now on a pitcher over there in that bullpen for holds, I feel like he's the guy to go for. And also, especially if you wanted to have, say, so to say, the not to borrow a fantasy football term, but the handcuff to Emmanuel Clase. If Clase were to go down or, you know, needs to take a break for a day, you know, or whatnot, I imagine that Stefan's going to be the guy that they turn to. So that's the guy I'd be keeping an eye on in that bullpen. I think some of the other guys were pitching pretty well, like Sam Henches. He's been pitching really well, but mostly in low leverage innings. So I think that he's really the guy, Trevor Stefan, I'd keep an eye on over there.
Yeah, first of all, we have to, I gave it to Kalen last week for the Red Sox being able to steal Garrett Whitlock in the Rule 5 draft last year from his Yankees. So the Yankees giving up Whitlock and Stefan, I mean, that's not looking so hot right now. But yeah, I'm definitely, this is so one of the situations, it's a short sample size, but I really do believe that this is a legit turnaround, and this can be real from Stefan. You know, he's made some changes this year to his pitch mix a little bit, where it looks like last year he was, you know, he threw his slider. Slider was his being secondary, throwing his slider 32.1% of the time. And it's a good secondary, but his splitter got a 52.5% whiff rate last year. He only threw it 8% of the time. This year he's throwing the splitter 32.1% of the time, and it's got a 46.7% whiff rate still. So he's up that splitter usage. He's still throwing the slider up 16% of the time. It's still a good secondary, especially against righties, but he's been very effective against lefties with that splitter and, you know, fastball combo. And that just, you know, the Guardians bullpen is super deep in my mind with, like, kind of under the radar names. Like, I was really high on Nick Sandlin coming into the year. He's had a little bit of a slow start, but I like Sandlin. I like, you know, Gosay. I mean, lefty throws 100, even though he's a outfielder turn reliever, he's still, you know, there's upside there despite his age. And yeah, Henkes too. He was one of the Statcast, you know, look at the Statcast numbers, he's gotten off to one of the better starts this year for any reliever. So yeah, this Guardians bullpen really sneaky, and, you know, all spearheaded with, you know, Class A at the back end. It's really a great, like, fun, you know, bullpen you get to watch over there.
Yeah, it is really fun. I really enjoy watching their bullpen come in, and it'll be interesting to see, like I mentioned before, sort of to now that the rosters have dropped from 28 to 26, they just DFA'd Logan Allen, who's getting, had six innings pitched so far this season, was taking up a decent chunk of that, those innings, and it'll be interesting to see amongst, you know, I'm with you, I like Nick Sandlin a lot. I think he had just a rough outing in the beginning, and I think he's actually looked really nice since then. So, you know, I think you'll see that. Wouldn't be surprised to see Eli Morgan get a few more innings, like all that. I think you're right. Ghost has looked really good. It's been a fun bullpen. And, you know, to back up with Stefan in that way that
that's definitely a strength of that team.
And it's funny to back up sort of what Stefan's doing real quick. You know, obviously he's got a 85.1 exit velocity right now. Only a 4.2 barrel percent, but the big thing is, if you look at like his XBA, is only 0.153. His FIP is like 0.087 or something. Yeah, XWOBA looks great. Like, all the numbers back up what he's doing.
Yeah,
so that's it's going to be fun. That, like I said, that's a guy we're just all the broadcast. Everybody's just very excited about.
Yeah, that it seems like, you know, and yeah, for all you in holds leagues are looking for, you know, deeper saves only leagues, definitely a name to keep an eye on, because yeah, you know, he's one injury to Clase away from, you know, being a big time contributor in every format. So yeah, good. It's a good name to keep an eye on. Someone else we talked about a little bit last week, and he continues to kind of just blow away every hitter he's faced this year, and that's, you know, Ryan Helsley in St. Louis. And he even got a two inning save this past week, so he's already, I have seen some, you know, some discussion of him being a co-closer with Giovanni Gallegos, but I personally think that's maybe a little too early to kind of go there. I think Gallegos has earned the right. He had his one rough outing last week was kind of, you know, he was a Nolan Arenado throw away from getting out of that inning with an easy save. And, you know, Arenado airmailed the throw, kept the inning going, and that kind of, you know, led to bad things. And obviously it's not a complete excuse for him, but I still, you know, they gave him a week off. He came back. He had a nice outing on Monday, got the save. So I still think Gallegos is the guy there. But talking about Ryan Helsley, and I think he is now becoming one of the top, you know, 10 or 12 holds options moving forward this year. So I don't know, Daniel, if you've seen a lot of Helsley this year, or if you, but I, are we thinking he's like, this is it? This is, he's finally, like, there was a lot of hype on him. Is this finally like the breakthrough that, you know, Ryan Helsley truthers have been searching for?
No. And, you know, I mean, obviously, again, everything's a small sample right now, and in relievers even more so, but it's hard not to be just straight up blown away with what Ryan Helsley's doing. Obviously, he hasn't given up a single run yet. He currently has a 61.5 K rate. Like, that's insane. He's striking out 61% of the batters he's facing. You know, if you're asking, well, does it all kind of back up? He's got a .057 X batting average. His FIP and his XFIP. Okay, so his XFIP is literally negative .14. Like, he has a negative XFIP right now. He's just absolutely, like, unhittable, and is done without walking anyone. Everything just looks really, really good. And obviously, I mean, who knows if there will be some regression. It's a small sample size. All those things are probably true. But do I think he's going to be really good? Yeah, I think he's going to be very good. And obviously, I agree with you. I would not expect him to, like, take the role from Gallegos or anything like that by any means, because I think Gallegos is also very good and had the one rough outing. Mm-hmm. But I imagine they'll stick with him at least for a while. But I think if you're in any league where, again, A, you want to have the handcuff for Gallegos, I think you could do a lot worse. But also, like, I think of if you're in a league where, you know, if you're talking 15-team leagues, you know, where you might just want someone to balance out your ERA or your WHIP, just get you some strikeouts, you know, that kind of thing. I think you could do worse than Helsley. If you're in a holds league, this guy's must own. I don't understand not owning him in a holds league, in the sense of, you know, he's got three already, but I mean, just, you imagine he's just going to start racking them up, and then you throw in the strikeouts, and it's, I think he's a must roster if you're in a holds league.
Yeah, I think he's definitely pushed into that territory now too, as well. It's there, and there hasn't been, you know, looking through it, he hasn't really changed a lot in his, you know, repertoire. He's throwing his fastball a little bit less, I guess we could point to that, as his fastball was a bit of an issue last year. That's where a lot of the damage against him was done, against his fastball. So he's upped his cutter usage a little bit, curveball usage a little bit, and the fastball is up 2 ticks, you know, it's up to 99. His average velocity is 99 miles per hour. So, you know, up from 97 last year. So he's got, you know, 3+ pitches potentially It's, yeah, he's, you know, I wonder if, you know, they've tried Jordan Hicks out in the rotation. I wonder, you know, Helsley was brought up as a starter. I wonder if he gets a chance, probably not this year, but, you know, next year, maybe something to keep an eye on. But for this year, yeah, definitely someone to own, you know, and maybe even like, if you're in like a competitive 12 teamer where, you know, just looking to get better ratios and Ks and a couple wins, maybe a couple saves here and there. This is probably someone to keep an eye on if he, especially if he keeps this up or even something close to this. So
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, great start from him, and hoping to see more of that there. Cause they definitely, you know, the Cardinals definitely need someone after Gallegos to kind of fill that void to get the ball to him. So yeah. Also, I would say another name who this is a little bit down, further down the pecking order of, you know, if we're looking for holds our targets, but you know, Trevor May hit the IL today. He might be out for an extended period of time. He's dealing with some arm issues. So the Mets all of a sudden are without one of their top setup options, but Drew Smith has had a really good start to the season. I don't want to say it's come out of nowhere, but he has had shown some glimpses in the past, you know, year or two, but I mean, his career 2.77 ERA. So maybe is this the year for Drew Smith to shine? It's kind of a deeper dive, but I feel like outside of Seth Lugo and Adam Ottavino, there's some option, there's some room there for Smith to become a legitimate holds league, you know, force.
I could certainly see it. I mean, the number one thing you need especially in a holds league and whatnot is opportunity, right? So, I mean, with Trevor May both struggling and hurt, and my heart breaks for him, it looks like he's really mentally struggling with everything out there and whatnot. And I hope only the best for him. But with him out for a while, you know, obviously the opportunity is certainly there. Kind of basically puts him almost like splitting the role of like the setup guy between him and Seth Lugo. So, I mean, obviously the opportunity is there. I'm a little, as opposed to the guys who we had before, it's a little more skeptical of
what's
put together so far. Just looking at some of his sort of his Statcast numbers and some of those things in the way that he, if you look kind of coming down the line at him, you know, his launch angle is actually way up to 24.5. His barrel percent's up at 10.5%. Mm-hmm. Hit rate's 52.6%. But with that all being said, there's some cause for concern in that sense. But then you look at it on the other side, and you know, I'd like to see, you know, I guess like this is where my concern comes in, is just like he's not quite getting, say, infield fly balls, which is what I'd be looking for, or any of that. So I have some causes for concern, but I think right now he's pitching really well. Obviously, it's a pretty good defense there in New York, so I mean, I don't mind him getting, you know, some of these fly balls hit and whatnot, and it's a pretty big park, whatnot. But that would be kind of my one trepidation with Drew Smith is that some of the Statcast numbers give me a little pause that I would expect to see him maybe giving up some more hits and maybe even some more home runs.
That's definitely fair. That's one of those, you know, with relievers, it's, you know, the hard hit and average exit velocity numbers are kind of tough to the barrel numbers. You see a lot of good relievers with Josh Hader, I believe, is one who notoriously has, you know, or I might be thinking of, there's a couple good relievers, you know, who they finish the year great numbers and like their hard hit numbers are really like skeptical. It's like, how do they not, you know, let up more home runs? So I don't know if it's a luck thing or not, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on. You want to see, you know, ideally you want to see all red when you're looking at a baseball savant page, but
right.
I'm more hesitant with him, yeah, as well than the other guys, but I'm hoping, I want to buy in. I kind of like what he's done. He's listed as throwing a cutter last year at 88 miles per hour. Now this year he's been throwing more of a slider. He's kind of that's, you know, number around 85. It's getting the same results right now, but it's, you know, he's kind of gone from a fastball cutter curveball mix to a fastball slider changeup mix this year, and kind of intrigues me. The changeup's been pretty good so far, so, you know, it's always nice to have that third pitch, especially when you have to face lefties and you can't just, you know, come in for a batter or two to get your righties out. So I think he's got a leg up on, well, Adam Ottavino's had been pretty good so far this year, and Seth Lugo's been, you know, good as well. So those three are kind of the ones to get the ball to Edwin Diaz for the time being, along with, you know, Julie Rodriguez as well, for their, you know, to have their one lefty there.
Well, and to be fair, to give you, because I don't want to say I'm completely out on Smith. I have a couple things I'm keeping an eye on, but I do like, and you brought it up, he has featured his changeup so far a lot more. He only threw it 4.6% of the time last year, and that's up to 10.3%. And, you know, he's thrown against 16 left-handed batters. He's not thrown against a single right-hander. This is exactly what you were talking about. These are the kind of things you see sometimes when a reliever makes a breakout, is what you're talking about. Does he have that pitch we can get a lefty out with? And, you know, it's been devastating against lefties. It's got a 50% whiff rate. You know, he's getting fantastic results. It seems like they're popping straight up in the air. No, they haven't even gotten a single hit off it. And the XBA backs it up, where it's a .006 X batting average. So he's been getting great results with it and using it more. And that's kind of, I mean, that's what you want to see, right? And that slider, it's almost like it's just his cutter and took some off of it and added more spin to it. And it's also getting great results. So certainly there's some things to get excited about for sure.
Yeah, I think that's always, you know, like when we brought, like, there's always a lot of the times there's, you know, like Amir Garrett's one of those, a guy who is dominant against lefties, but righties just, you know, have just, they destroy him. He has no way of getting righties out. And so it's always nice to have that changeup or a splitter or some sort of a secondary to get both, you know, lefties and right. You know, a lot of relievers have the fastball slider, fastball curveball combo. That's like this, you know, reliever standard, but, you know, having that splitter changeup to get the opposite side hitter out, always a big deal. And it looks like Smith's is faring pretty well. So I think, you know, yeah, definitely not in the Helsley Stefan range, but, you know, someone to keep an eye on, and, you know, some of the deeper holds leagues for now.
Yeah, I definitely would be, if I'm in a holds league, I mean, especially a deeper one like that, I'd be definitely looking at Andrew Smith. I think, you know, like I put him three in these three guys we talked about, but like there are, he's getting great results. And I do think there have been significant enough changes, even into, like, I'm looking at the vertical movement for his pitches and the changeup. He's definitely changed the movement of his changeup and his sinker, you know, so that I think there's enough difference, and he's got a lot more vertical movement as fastball. Mm-hmm. So I see enough changes to say I can buy into that there's been a change made here. So I think I definitely still very intrigued by him.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's always good to, you know, to have that, you know, pitching for the Mets, you're going to have more opportunities than a lot of other teams. So yeah, hopefully he can, you know, build on this and keep it going. And, you know, speaking of pitching for pretty good teams, the last name we're going to get to in this new holds mix group of guys is Steven Wilson in San Diego. Another name we've touched on before, but just kind of wanted to dive a little deeper. Got off. He's a rookie this year. He's made his debut, you know, last month. He's gotten off to a great start. I was a little hesitant at first. You know, I was, after his first, I think it was eight or so innings, it's kind of looked into it a little bit deeper. And it's like, he hasn't really faced any, like, you know, everyday major leaguers, you know, any of his, you know, appearances. He's kind of been facing bottom of the order guys, you know, players who've been, you know, up and down from like AAA to the majors. So he has kind of hit a, I don't want to say he's hit a rough patch, but he's, you know, ERA's up to 3.38, which, you know, certainly nothing wrong with that. But I'm still interested in, you know, him for the rest of the season, especially with uncertainty in that bullpen. And, you know, I think Wilson's slider is very, you know, it's an above average pitch. It's definitely an out pitch, definitely a pitch he's going to get a lot of whiffs on. He's got 45.8% whiff rate on it so far. The fastball, I don't know if that's going to, I mean, we'll see. As long as he's commanding it well, you know, he's done a good job so far as far as, you know, he only have 5.1% walk rate, which is, you know, that's fine. It's definitely something, it's a good, you know, number for first year pitcher. But what are your feelings about Steven Wilson? And, you know, kind of, he's another one of those, you know, his hard hit rate is, you know, pretty high. He does get hit hard a little bit. Is there something more? Is this a lucky start, or is there something, you know, here for the rest of the season?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a lucky start. I mean, I think basically, you know, you look at all the sort of FIP and Sierra and things like that, and they seem to back up what has happened, right? You know, so far this season, right? And same with the XBA and all of the XStats, sort of basically back up what has sort of happened. In fact, they say that if nothing else, some of the home runs and things like that he had, the power numbers that he has given up so far are a little exaggerated in the terms of slugging and whatnot. But I would say, again, I think the hard hit stuff does give me a little bit of concern. But I think the biggest thing to figure out, especially if you're looking at someone to say get holds or eventually be in the save mix, so far he's a really seen any high leverage innings is mostly what I kind of look at. And the only time he did, he got hit pretty hard. So he's only had one, according to Fangraphs, he's had only one high leverage inning, and where he gave up a home run and three earned runs. So I have a feeling with a younger player, who kind of isn't seeing a lot of high leverage innings, I think this is more of a guy to keep your eye on for the future. And maybe this is kind of the thing that, like, reevaluate a, you know, let's get another 20 games, you know, 15, 20 games under our belt and see how he's doing still. I think he's got talent. I think the one thing I have concern with is to go versus, say, Drew Smith, who we were just talking about, is that I don't know if he has that other pitch yet. He hasn't really shown an aptitude with a pitch for getting left-handed batters out yet. And you know, mostly he throws his fastball against them. So that slider really still isn't a weapon he has yet to get lefties out. And so that would be the one question I would want to see, is if he can kind of develop that changeup into something he can use to get lefties out. It doesn't necessarily seem like he's faced a lot of lefties yet. So it'd be interesting to see. That would be my one question with him. I think this is someone who give another couple of weeks and let's see where he's at. See if he gets some high leverage innings under his belt before I get too excited about his holds capability. Because especially pitching low leverage and medium level leverage innings, he's just not going to get a lot of holds opportunities, and definitely is going to be a little down the pecking order saves wise. So I like him. I like what he's got going on. It just wouldn't be my first pick on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I hear that. You make a good point. I think they've kind of, you know, picked their battles with him. Like, he hasn't faced a lot of lefties. They've been kind of protecting him there. He's thrown two changeups on the year. So, yeah, they're, you know, it's, if he wants to become a full time, you know, if he wants to be like the seventh or eighth inning option, then you're going to have to be able to, you know, work both sides of the plate, get both sides, you know, out. So, I think he's kind of been thrown into a role based off injuries there, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens once they get some of those guys back. And, you know, there's other interesting names there that have kind of struggled to start, like, you know, Denelson Lamet or Robert Suarez, Luis Garcia. So yeah, we'll something to keep an eye on. But yeah, for, like, you know, dynasty holds leagues, this is probably a name you want to have rostered right now.
I agree. Yeah, I definitely, and like I said, he's someone I probably will watch a week because I'm in a couple of holds leagues where I'll probably keep an eye on him and see how he's doing. Because at some point, if he keeps pitching this well, he will get more opportunities. I mean, Roster Resource has him as the sort of setup seven guy instead of you know, setup eight. So, I mean, I think they think he's got the talent to get up there, and that's kind of the role he has. So you never know. Definitely worth keeping an eye on, but I wouldn't be picking him up or anything unless it was a dynasty league.
Yeah, definitely someone to watch for now, and you know, someone to monitor for now and see, you know, how his role progresses as the year goes on. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up our, you know, that segment of the new holds options that we're kind of eyeing and keeping an eye, you know, monitoring for the start of the year. Helsley and Stephon, you know, go out and pick them up in holds leagues. Smith and Wilson, more of a wait and see unless you're in deeper leagues type options. So that brings us to the end of the show where, you know, we typically, you know, have each give something, you know, what to watch for the next week. So I'll start with saying that, you know, it's been an ongoing thing, but I really want to see what happens in Minnesota. I really am pulling for, you know, John Durant to take over that role. And I'm just excited to see. Is to me, he's, you know, very shades of Edwin Diaz when he kind of took over in Seattle and earlier on in his career. It's, you know, that type of stuff, that type of, you know, swing and miss ability is rare to come by. And if you can attach that to, you know, consistent saves, then that's a huge fantasy, you know, asset. So hoping he gets a save or two this week, and, you know, Pagan keeps working the eighth inning for now. But yeah, something to watch for. Daniel, do you have anything to kind of look out for over the next week?
I think in general, bullpen usage in general is sort of, and it sounds too broad, and so I'll explain what I mean. That I'm looking at some of these teams that are, you know, really sort of relying a lot on their bullpens and are getting excellent results out of them, like the Yankees. Currently, you know, their bullpens right now 17-6. So they're getting a lot of their wins, and they're throwing, their bullpen is thrown. What is it? Let's see how many. I'm sorry. Let's see here. Their bullpen's already thrown, 94.2 innings, you know, which compares to, like, say, Colorado or Miami, they're all the way down at 77. You take Tampa Bay, who's already thrown 111 innings in their bullpen, and that makes some sense. I think they're using a lot of openers and stuff like that. You know, so they get those, like, three or four inning relievers out there. But, you know, I think some of these bullpens where they're just getting and it probably implies their starters aren't going very far, but kind of gets you an idea of what bullpens are doing well, and where, what usage we might see the rest of the season. Like, one that's a good bullpen, like San Francisco, is right up there at 97.1 innings pitched. You know, Boston is at 95, New York's at 94. Toronto's at 94. These are some of the things I'm kind of looking for to see when I start looking for maybe non-saves guys that I'm going to pick up. I want to see what bullpens are being used a lot. I'd have a hard time, say, necessarily over-investing, say, the Mets bullpen, who's only thrown 83, or even Cleveland's, we talked about, is at 80. So it's like the very interesting Milwaukee at 79.1. That's like basically, it's their starters, Devin Williams and Josh Hader. And so it's like, basically, you know, thinking of these things where it's like, you know, the Dodgers are at 78 innings pitched. And so it'd be interesting to see how those trends change where I think in a holds league goes, and I just dropped Brusader Graterol. It's not because he wasn't good. He was doing great, but he wasn't getting any innings. So that kind of thing. So that's something that I would really start monitoring, is maybe just in a way it was, we're watching bullpens kind of come together. I'd start really trying to see if you get a track of how teams are using their bullpens and how much they're relying on them if that changes.
Yeah, I love that. That's, you know, especially like within the first month of the year, that's a vital, you know, that you really don't have a lot to go on. You can't, a small sample size and all, but you can get, you know, an idea for usage and how teams are using their bullpen. And, you know, like, yeah, like you said, the Yankees really love to go, you know, they'll go early to their bullpen because they have the guys, you know, to do it. So,
right.
Yeah, good stuff. I think that's definitely, you know, as we get closer to June, July, definitely worth keeping an eye on, you know, types of innings pitched that these bullpens are getting. So that will do it for today's show and this week's show. We hope to have you back next week. And for those of you who aren't aware, we can find us at In the Pen Pod on Twitter, as well as you know, on pitcherlist.com. We're part of the Pitcherlist podcast. Daniel, if you have anything to plug, or if you, you know, we can obviously find him, you know, doing some of the reliever ranks work for us. But if you have anything else you have.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter at Daniel J. Port. And mostly what I've been working on lately for Pitcherlist are two things. I do my own podcast, Long Ball Legacies, which you can check out every single week. We come out on Sundays. And essentially the gist, and I'd love to, maybe if Richard ever wants to come on and do an episode, I'd love to have him. I have a guest who usually comes on, and we pick a player that like meant something to you as a fan, you know, either growing up or what kind of helped you become a fan. And then we sort of pick player comparisons together and sort of talk about them. And then at the end, we rank the players amongst this big giant list we've kind of created over, you know, over the years. I mean, not over the years, gosh, over the different episodes that we've done. I think we're on episode, we just brought out episode 11. The Even Idiot just had Carlos Marcano come on. We talked about Johan Santana. But also dive into what they mean in a bigger picture sense that sometimes we think it's lost in, say, the Hall of Fame rankings or things like that, where, you know, we get to talk about what baseball was like in Venezuela, where Carlos is from, and sort of how that meant for Johan Santana, who's Venezuelan, and what that meant, and sort of put things in those kind of contexts. It's just a really fun thing to do. Other than that, I'm still writing. I do help out with the bullpen reports and whatnot, but also should be putting on the next couple of days. I created a stat called Optimum Location Ratios, which covers a lot of relievers as well. I'm putting out my projections, so to say, for the year of how well I think we're doing fastballs right now, how four-seam fastballs will go. So that's basically what I'm kind of working on right now.
Nice. Yeah, definitely going to keep an eye out for that. That's very interesting stuff. And yeah, I'm intrigued. That podcast has me intrigued. I think I have a player that we both might have some sort of, you know, ties to, but we'll save that for if, you know, when/if I come on the show. So
yeah, shoot me a DM with the player, and we'll set something up. I love it.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's it, everyone. Thank you again for, you know, supporting the show, listening to the show. Yeah, have a great week.